Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
By BetMGM.
Nick Costos and Ken Barkley here with you. Spiro Dedis with the call. Of course, that was last year because we haven't seen, I was 2 years ago, right? Because Dobbins hasn't played basically in a season and a half. Right. So J.K. Dobbins literally back in game uniform today for the Baltimore Ravens. It is official. He will headline our actives and inactive segment here to close out hour number one. We'll get to Ken's Moneyline Underdog Parlay coming up in a little bit. Two-team, six-point teaser conversations as well. We will bring you the rest of the actives and inactives. But Ken, we'll start here with J.K. Dobbins for this Ravens rushing offense, which has been pretty bad to start the year. Basically been Lamar Jackson and not much else, right? With Kenyon Drake and Mike Davis, with Gus Edwards also still on the shelf. So Dobbins will make his season debut, and per like all the NFL insiders, basically going to have no restrictions. And this is a major boon to this Ravens rushing attack, even without star left tackle Ronnie Stanley, who has yet to make his 2022 season debut. So obviously if you're in fantasy leagues, like, get J.K. Dobbins in your lineup unless you've got two studs playing ahead of him here. Dobbins should be in fantasy lineups. Could be a big workload today for the former Ohio State standout. And Ken, I know that you have chosen to play J.K. Dobbins in a different way here, this time in the futures market.
Yeah, I just think awards are something that I'm always very interested in. And there's one award market in the NFL this season especially that has gotten off to a really interesting start. You know, we think about the other ones. MVP, even at this early point in the season, look. Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. Like, these are the obvious candidates. Those are your favorites. There's a market that makes a bunch of sense. Coach of the year. Here's all these first-year coaches off to phenomenal starts. Here's Mike McDaniel. Here's Brian Daboll. It makes sense. Here's Nick Sirianni, who has a really easy schedule the rest of the season. That makes sense. Comeback player of the year typically goes, you know, a bunch of different directions. It's almost always a player returning from an injury or sort of a unique health situation. Alex Smith obviously won a few years ago. And the thing about this year's comeback player of the year market, it never seemed like there were obvious candidates. It always seemed like we were kind of reaching. Like, here's Derrick Henry, who already came back to play in the playoffs, and he was the favorite entering the season. That didn't make a lot of sense. You know, here are a couple quarterbacks, Jameis Winston and Baker Mayfield, but were they really likely to put up monster numbers for, you know, playoff level teams? Wasn't as likely as maybe some of the other ones. You know, Dak Prescott and Joe Burrow were your two candidates last year, the whole season in this market. Dak Prescott and Joe Burrow. There is no Dak Prescott and Joe Burrow this year. I think that's the point. And so the market feels very open still. It feels very much like we haven't established who the most likely players to win are. Saquon Barkley had a great week one. But again, is he a sort of a typical winner of comeback player of the year? Is he going to maintain that level of performance? He's also pretty injury prone. And he's like the only guy who stands out where you go, okay, I guess so. Jameis Winston's playing with a broken back right now. He didn't play particularly well against Tampa. So there's room to make a bet here, I think, on someone. Not that they have to succeed or they have to be awesome today or down the road. J.K. Dobbins' injury history has been very, very well chronicled to the point that he was kind of snapping back at a lot of reporters on Twitter all offseason saying, you know, is he actually going to start the season on the pup list or not? Is that going to happen? So it's been very highly publicized, which I like from a narrative perspective because everyone knows he was injured and it's been very, very, very well documented. He also steps into an offense where he should be able to have a lot of success where he's done that previously. His typical handcuff, Gus Edwards, isn't going to play in the game, is still injured. So just seems like maybe an opportunity here. Not that he's going to win the award, but he's 30-1 at BetMGM. They're 40s and 50s. Maybe they've already been bet this morning, honestly, with the news of him coming back. I just think in 3 weeks, in 5 weeks, what is the likelihood that this price is going to go up or down? What is more likely? With him starting to play, absolutely more likely the price crashes. The players in front of him right now, Juju Smith-Schuster, Julio Jones, who basically doesn't play, Derrick Henry, who might be washed. Like, these are all players that J.K. Dobbins passes pretty easily, even with average-level performances. So I know a few more minutes there maybe than we normally spend on comeback player of the year, but just think this is an interesting place for an entry point on a guy who maybe he isn't going to win, but I think he could easily become one of the favorites here in the next couple weeks.
Good stuff there by Ken. J.K. Dobbins and comeback player of the year. Rest of the actives and inactives. Alvin Kamara for the New Orleans Saints missed last week's loss against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kamara, active for today's game in Carolina against the Panthers. Get Alvin Kamara in your fantasy lineups. It's official for Buffalo. Gabe Davis is active. Davis missed Monday's win over the Titans. Gabe Davis, get him in your lineups. Dawson Knox, also active for the Buffalo Bills. For the Las Vegas Raiders, Josh Jacobs made the trip yesterday to Tennessee. Didn't travel with the team, traveled separately. Josh Jacobs is going to play today. Josh Jacobs is active for the Raiders. I don't like Josh Jacobs in fantasy. I'm going to have an anytime touchdown bet on a Raider in that running back group, not named Josh Jacobs, but Jacobs is active. Hunter Renfrow, as expected, inactive. That was announced earlier in the week, but Hunter Renfrow not going to play today. If he's in your fantasy lineups, get him out. I really think that helps Darren Waller's matchup over the middle of the field for the Raiders against the Tennessee Titans. For the Colts, this is not like new news, but just want to say it. Michael Pittman is active for today's game for Indy. He missed last week's loss against Jacksonville. Shaquille Leonard, the former Darius Leonard, inactive once again. He has yet to make his season debut in the linebacking core for the Indianapolis Colts. For the Miami Dolphins, Teron Armstead, left tackle, he is active. He will play today for the Miami Dolphins, as will cornerback Xavien Howard. For the Detroit Lions, DeAndre Swift, TJ Hockenson, and Aiden Hutchinson, all active. Good news for the Detroit Lions. They're on the road in Minnesota against the Vikings. Get Swift in your lineups. I love Hockenson's matchup with Harrison Smith not playing for Minnesota, and Aiden Hutchinson, obviously the best player on that defense. Couple notable inactives here. Taysom Hill is inactive for the New Orleans Saints. Who does that help? Juwan Johnson, the pass-catching tight end for the Saints, with Taysom Hill not taking snaps at the tight end position. For the New England Patriots, Jacoby Myers is inactive. Kendrick Bourne probably getting more snaps in the middle of the field. Also think this helps Nelson Agholor and Hunter Henry. For the Chicago Bears, Jalen Jackson inactive at the cornerback position. Who does this help? Davis Mills, Brandon Cooks, Nico Collins, and the Houston Texans pass catchers, who will be without tight end Brevin Jordan, who is inactive. Texans tight end Brevin Jordan inactive. That probably helps O.J. Howard the most, who caught 2 touchdowns back for Houston in week number 1 in the tie against the Indianapolis Colts. If anything else is broken here, we will bring it to you on You Better You Bet with all the analysis. That's all we've got for right now. And just for Sunday Night Football, just to go through this one more time, George Kittle is going to play tonight for the 49ers, catching passes from Jimmy G. And the expectation is that both Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver, and star cornerback for Denver, Patrick Surtain, are both going to play. Both are questionable. That is not official, but both are expected to play. Ken, and those are the actives and inactives here for week 3 in the National Football League. Okay. A lot of information there in a short amount of time. We absolutely love these.
Good.
Yeah, these Sundays. Yeah, it's great. What else is great? Your money line underdog parlay here. What are we rolling with here? How are we feeling about it today?
I mean, I feel good, obviously. Bet it. So I have to feel pretty good about it. The way the board shapes up this week, you know, typically we're looking for underdogs in a certain range just to, you know, create a multiplier that can be kind of a fun sweat throughout the day. And, you know, hopefully once or twice throughout an entire season, we'll hit one of these. And obviously you'll end up at the end of the year if these things are paying 25, 30 to one. There's 18 weeks in the regular season. Do the math. We're just trying to hit a couple of these basically. And they could be very fun if you go into the 4 o'clock window, obviously needing one team to win. Felt like we were really went 2 out of 3 last week. And the games that I didn't put in were games that we bet. The Jets, for example, could have easily been the third leg. Didn't end up materializing. So we'll try it again this week. And the theme
you
for this week
about
is actually
this, man. Last week we're sitting next to each other in the Ari, and you're like, man, I should have put the Jets in the underdog. But I'm like,
should have put the Jets. We like the Jets the whole week. We like the Jets. That's what I don't like about it. When it's like the first game we bet when the numbers come out and the team doesn't make it in the money line underdog parlay. That's always a tough one. I'll be honest. There are some big favorites. There's no favorite more than 6.5 right now in the market. So we don't have like the really, really, really big underdogs that are even candidates for this. And even the somewhat larger underdogs, the Jets again this week, Washington, Indianapolis at this kind of a number, Detroit. we like the favorites in a lot of those games. Like, we don't really want to use the underdogs to win those game out. We actually think a lot of those favorites are undervalued in some situations. Minnesota and Cincinnati, early in the week especially, that was true. So we end up having to go with a bunch of smaller underdogs, which I don't usually like doing because the multiplier isn't as great. But look, you like who you like, basically. And these are the three teams for this week, and the underdog prices are going to be pretty low, but this is what we got. Team number one is going to be New England, who's still a 2.5-point underdog against Baltimore. My number's closer to a pick. Nick and I have talked about this game a lot this week. Nick has a New England ticket at +3. Don't think we're going to get that number before kickoff, but we might. Number's kind of bouncing back and forth a little bit right now. New England is team number one. The Carolina Panthers are going to be team number two, 2.5-point underdog. In terms of likelihood to win the game, the more the injury reports have come out, the more we read about Jameis Winston, the spot for Carolina, it's probably more like a 50-50 proposition and their plus money on the money line right now in terms of Carolina to win the game. So New England number one, Carolina number two. And then this is a team that I the more the week has gone on, the more I like, thought about it more yesterday, did some more work on it. I'm actually going to put Tennessee in as team number three. They're +2. The money line will not be particularly valued.
What a jerk.
+200 or something. Nick and I are against each other on this game. I know. On Friday, I said I wanted Titans +3. We'll go into it a little more, maybe in the pick segment, basically. Just what this market implies about the difference between the Raiders and Titans, the more I think about it, the more I disagree with it, with what we've seen from both teams. With the Raiders, a road favorite, just seems a little crazy versus kind of me going back and checking through some stuff. So three small dogs, that's just kind of the way it is this week. I don't want to put the Herbert game in. We don't know if he's going to play. I don't really want to put Houston in when they have to win. I think they could actually cover that number, maybe even lose by one or two, a lot more than we think.
I don't want to put them in the underdog money line parlay because in that bet, I need them to win, and I don't trust
because them. I need them to actually win as opposed to covering a giant number against Denver last week or covering it. We bet them against Indianapolis in week number one, or I did at least +7. So it kind of excludes, and we also have like 3 1-point favorites, even less than the type of team we're talking about right now. Just kind of the way it shakes out right now. Everyone's betting Miami on the board right now. I don't think there's a lot of value in that number anymore either. So we'll take three small dogs time together. We'll take New England against Baltimore at home. We'll take Carolina at home against the Saints. We'll take Tennessee at home against the Raiders. The small home underdog parlay. That's what we'll call it this week.
So Patriots, Panthers, and Titans. Ken Barkley's three-team money line underdog parlay for week number three in the National Football League. Just on Carolina, because I bet Carolina +3 earlier in the week. One of the co-hosts of BetMGM Game Day, which precedes us here on NFL Sundays in our 13-hour block of content, Joe O, Devin Caney, and our good friend Jason LaCanforo, who does an amazing job covering the National Football League and on the BetQL Network and for Odyssey. His column that posted today talking about Panthers owner David Tepper, like, apparently going to have some patience with Matt Rhule.
Patience.
Interesting word. Unless the losing continues.
I got bad news for Mr. Tepper. Unfortunately, as someone with the Panthers money win total over bet, it pains me to say this. I think the losing is going to continue. I think it might continue. They got the Niners and the Rams coming up in a couple weeks.
Maybe we could bet Auburn's over next year when Matt Rhule's coaching in the SEC. Or like Nebraska's over if Matt
Rhule coaches Nebraska. Turn that program around. Be great. Nebraska's former quarterback, Adrian Martinez, getting a win over Oklahoma with the winning touchdown, but the touchdown to put the game away.
Adrian Martinez looked like Michael Vick on that final run.
He was so fast. It was unbelievable. It was crazy stuff. Yeah, congrats to the Wildcats. Ridiculous. Big win. They might win the Big 12.
Look at this graphic on the screen. It's why you got to watch on YouTube and Twitch. Good stuff there with Ken's Moneyline Underdog Parlay. 1 hour down, one more to go here. Countdown to kickoff week three NFL Sunday. Best bets to close the show. But we start things off with a visit from thy royal prop king in moments on the BetQL Network.
You're listening to You Better You Bet. Countdown to kickoff.